This is KGNU's Morning Magazine. It's Tuesday, October 12th. I'm your host, Shannon Young. Thank you for joining us here on listener-supported community radio. Coming up on today's program, HelloFresh workers in Aurora are seeking to form a union at the factory where they assemble prepared food boxes for home delivery. We'll hear voices from the picket line. In This Week in Water, we'll hear how last summer's monsoons awakened prehistoric creatures. And we'll play our weekly comment line, comments from listeners who share their thoughts about what they hear on KGNU. At 8:30, the How on Earth crew will be here in the studio for a special fun drive presentation. At 9 a.m., it's The Wit and Wisdom of Alan Watts, the British philosopher, writer, and speaker known for interpreting Eastern religious ideas for a Western audience. And then at 9:30, the Morning Sound Alternative comes your way with 2.5 hours of eclectic music until noon. But first, it's time for local and regional headlines with KGNU's Stacey Johnson.
Colorado wildlife officers removed a tire from the neck of a bull elk last weekend. The elk, seen traveling back and forth between Jefferson and Park counties, had been carrying the obstacle around its neck for at least 2 years. Wildlife officers first became aware of the elk from a July 2019 sighting. Officers were able to tranquilize the long-sought-after bull, who was with a herd of 40 elk near Pine Junction on Saturday evening. It was the fourth attempt by wildlife officers within a week. According to a Colorado Parks and Wildlife news release, the officers were unable to cut the steel in the bead of the tire and resorted to cutting the bull's antlers in order to free the animal from the tire. The officers estimate the bull dropped roughly 35 pounds based on tire, antler, and debris removal. Despite the bull carrying the tire around its neck for more than 2 years, the officers reported the bull was in good condition, with some neck hair rubbed off and a small coin-sized open wound examined. Doctors have deemed the suspect in the Boulder King super shooting incompetent to stand trial, but prosecutors have been granted a second evaluation. KGN News' Steve Miller has more.
The attorneys of the 22-year-old suspect, Hamad Alisa, asked Boulder Chief Judge Ingrid Bakke to have Alisa undergo an evaluation to determine whether he was capable of assisting in his own defense, which she granted. The Daily Camera reports that Hamad Alisa is charged with 10 counts of first-degree murder, 47 counts of attempted first-degree murder, 1 count of first-degree assault, 10 counts of felony possession of a prohibited large-capacity magazine, and 47 crime of violence sentence enhancers. A motion filed last week said that doctors concluded Alisa is not currently competent to stand trial because Alisa's superficial responses to hypothetical legal situations indicated a passive approach to his defense and potential over-reliance on his attorneys. After Judge Bakke granted the request for a second evaluation, Alisa's attorneys argued that a second evaluation was an attempt to fast-track the case and was not made in good faith. If a judge were to review the doctor's findings and conclude that Alisa was in fact not competent to stand trial, the case would be placed on hold until Alisa could be restored to competency. I'm Steve Miller for KGNU.
Flight cancellations plaguing passengers of Southwest Airlines continued yesterday. According to the Denver Gazette, FlightAware, an online tracking service, reported 363 Southwest Airlines flights had been canceled nationwide as of 1 p.m. Monday. 43 flights were canceled out of Denver International Airport. Over the weekend, more than 200 flights were disrupted by cancellations or delays. Flight cancellations and disruptions began nationwide on Friday after the Southwest Airlines Pilot Association filed a request for an immediate hearing in federal court over the airline's recent vaccine mandate against COVID-19. The union has denied reports that pilots are conducting a walkout or slowdown in protest of the mandate. Company officials have reported the airline was staffed for the weekend but experienced air traffic control issues and bad weather in Florida and could not recover quickly due to fewer flights and pandemic cutbacks. Counsel for the Colorado Independent Congressional Redistricting Commission submitted a reply brief yesterday to the Colorado Supreme Court in support of the commission's final redistricting plan. The final plan was favored by 11 of the 12 commission members last month. Live-streamed oral arguments will begin today at 1 p.m. before the Colorado Supreme Court, which will determine if the Commission's final plan meets the criteria set forth in the state's constitution and requirements under federal law. The court will issue its opinion by November 1st. The court's schedule and all briefs submitted by organizations and individuals are available online at the Colorado Supreme Court website. Today's weather along the northern Metro Front Range includes partly sunny skies with a chance of showers. Thunderstorms are possible in the afternoon. Highs will be in the upper 50s, low 60s. Tonight, skies will be partly cloudy with lows in the mid 30s. For Boulder and Fort Collins, there is a chance of snow showers between midnight and 5 a.m. The current temperature outside the Boulder studios is 45 degrees. For KGNU, I'm Stacy Johnson.
You are listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. HelloFresh workers in Aurora are seeking to form a union at the factory where they assemble prepared food boxes for home delivery. Business at the German-owned company has boomed since the start of the pandemic, but workers at the Aurora facility say they are struggling with workloads and pay that's barely enough to make ends meet. The pro-union workers held a rally Sunday with allies, and Dave Ashton brings us this report.
On Sunday afternoon during shift change, workers and supporters held a pro-union rally outside the Aurora warehouse operated by German meal kit company HelloFresh, expressing concerns about workplace safety and low pay. HelloFresh is purportedly the most popular meal kit company in the United States, with demand for HelloFresh meal kits doubling in 2020, climbing to 278 million meals sold in the U.S. as workers race to keep up. After a serious workplace accident in June left two workers with severe injuries, employees decided it was time to organize. Sisters Mary and Sarah Williams stopped by at the end of their shift to explain why they support the call to unionization.
When COVID struck, a lot of the stores were, you know, wiped out. Restaurants were closed. And we had a lot of workloads that we had to fulfill. And at that time, there was a lot of people there because there was not much employment offered. So we would all go work a lot of hours, do a lot of overtime. Some people would come an hour early, stay an hour later, just to make sure that America was fed. However, even though we were essential, our company didn't treat us as such. They didn't care much about our safety. They didn't care about our pay. They just wanted us to be there working hard. As much as they can get out of us, that's what they wanted. So we're here finally putting our foot down and demanding a union.
And that's the reason why many of us joined HelloFresh, is because a lot of places weren't hiring and they were doing so good financially that they were able to hire all of us. But we were getting paid $12.50 at the time, so we weren't getting paid hazard pay at all. And now as the economy is opening, other people are finding other jobs, and so we're taking on the burden of that because we're doing basically double the work because half of the workers are working here currently.
So could you maybe walk us through, like, what is your shift like here, a day at work at HelloFresh?
We come here around 6:30 a.m. Most workers get here at 6 a.m. We have to change into our PPE gear, which is like the gear that's safe for us to work around food. And then we're told numbers that we have to meet, and it's usually 1,000-something per shift. So we have per line, I think, 1,000 per line, right? So there's like two lines running today, and we had to meet 2,000. And it doesn't matter if you're tired, doesn't matter if those things are just not necessary. You just have to keep going, keep working, lifting ice, getting the boxes in, all of that.
Noah Kennedy works as a line leader at HelloFresh's Aurora facility. In his early 20s, after a year on the job, Noah wants stable employment that he can build a life on. He wants his hard work to translate to a job with decent pay that he can count on long term.
We're here working every single day, and like pushing out these boxes. Like today, my line, like we hit like over 1,000 boxes sent through. And again, I'm like proud to say that, okay, like there's, you know, 1,000 people that don't have to leave their homes if they like don't need to. But like yet here we all are every single day, and you know, working for like a company that made like it did great during the pandemic, but like yet I'm still struggling. Like I am still struggling to pay rent, and I like look around to my friends and my story isn't unique. And you know, we need to change that. Like we should all be able to do this and keep people safe and like also make enough money to like pay our bills and to save, but also to like stay safe ourselves. Like, cause it's like, again, in the middle of the pandemic and you know, here we all are like on the line, like I interact with like 100 people every single day.
So what changes do you think unionization would bring to your work experience?
Mm-hmm. I think like the things that I'm most excited to see and the things that I cannot wait to fight for in a contract is like just a raise, right? And like scheduled raises too. Like I want to be able to know that, you know, if I work at this place for another 5, 6, 10 years, that like I can expect like a healthy amount of raises. And like right now it like kind of gives me like those feeling of anxiety of like if I stay here for like for another, like if I work in the exact same department on my like same role for another like 5 years, am I going to be making any more? And the truth of the matter is, like, right now I have no guarantee of that.
Among those who came out to support the workers at their rally was Aurora City Councilman Juan Marcano. He's been observing the uptick in labor organizing in the city's industrial belt with a sense of optimism that it can bring about needed change.
I know in Aurora, if you're a minimum wage earner, you have to work 72 hours a week to afford a one-bedroom market rate apartment. I know the folks here make a little more than that, but not that much more. So they, and with a company that has posted record profits like that, these folks should easily be able to afford a living wage.
So we're talking about almost 400 workers here at this company, and but with so much, you know, industrial commerce activity, as you all hear, this is a major trucking route in Aurora. Like, do you see that? You mentioned a lot of activity coming up now. Like, what do you see evolving right now in your city?
Yeah, I this is the second strike, or actually the third that we've had in Aurora. In the last 2 years, we had UAW, we had BCTGM workers at Mondelez and Nabisco, and now we have, you know, the HelloFresh workers organizing for their rights. I think, like I said, I'm hopeful that this is the beginning of a larger, you know, workers' rights movement to demand, you know, living wages, affordable health care, you know, decent hours, things of that nature. Because it's got this, you know, in the United States, we've had a decoupling of productivity and wages and quality of life. It's been on the decline in this country for the last 50 plus years. And, you know, like I said, I stand with these workers as they're saying enough is enough. We deserve to live a decent life. And, you know, I think that we're going to see more of that. And I'm excited about that.
Many businesses claim to be experiencing work shortages and are having to raise pay rates in order to compete. But many of those pay raises are going towards covering rising costs of living. Some workers are only taking on employment short term. HelloFresh worker Noah Kennedy says the company could put the brakes on high turnover with decent pay, safe conditions, and sustainable workloads, and that unionization could help accomplish those goals. He could see himself at the company for a long time.
I've been here for like a year, and I'm actually one of the most like long-standing people in my department. It's really hard to find someone who's been here for more than 5. And I want this to be a job that all of us would be excited to retire at. You know, we're at like, you know, at the end of our lives, we can say like, yeah, I spent like 30 years at that company and like it treated me well. And like, that's what we're doing right now. We're making this a place that like will treat us well and that we'd be proud to retire at. I'm excited for that.
Workers say HelloFresh has contracted outside consultants to try to convince employees to not unionize. The voting process starts later this month and closes on November 22nd. For KGNU, I'm Dave Ashton in Aurora.
Hi, I'm Madeline. I donated my car to become a member of KGNU because I support independent media and the free exchange of ideas in KGNU's public affairs programming. I truly believe that non-corporate, non-commercial media is vital for the health of our democracy. If you feel like I do, go to kgnu.org and make a contribution to support independent media today.
Thank you to Madeline, who donated her car. And thank you to Dave Ashton, who produced that wonderful report from Aurora. Where else did you hear that? Listeners based in the Denver metro area. I haven't heard that anywhere else. And I'm so pleased that Dave was able to go out there physically with his field recorder, which was provided by the listeners of KGNU, to bring us back those voices. And there's some other people who I think agree with me. I want to thank Mark in Arvada, who shares that he loves KGNU. And thanks to Julian in Lafayette, who shares, I much prefer listening to the independent media that KGNU provides over listening to nationally syndicated radio like NPR. Well, thank you, Julian and Lafayette, for supporting our independent radio station where we go where the news is. Be like Julian, be like Mark. Give us a call, 303-449-4885, or go online to kgnu.org.
Yes, Shannon, it's Verity again, and you know the locally produced news you hear on KGNU is entirely unique. I want to let folks know that, you know, Shannon's not here to be a rock star fundraiser. She is here to run a news department comprised mostly of volunteers from your community. We bring you impeccably produced, you know, the morning magazine where you hear stories that you won't hear anywhere else, just as Shannon mentioned. They otherwise might not find their way onto the air at all. Take the example, we just heard that incredible report from KGNU's Dave Ashton about the revitalization of the labor movement here on the Front Range, but that is blowing up on a national level. And having access to these stories really enriches your understanding of the world around you. But of course, none of this happens for free. We need your support. Please call in and have your dollars doubled at 303-449-4885. Volunteers are standing by to take your call. You can also go to kgnu.org and make your contribution, which will be matched dollar for dollar up to $1,000, thanks to Alan Carpenter.
And thank you, Verity. Producing the morning magazine and all the other news and public affairs programming requires resources that are provided by you, the listener, like Mark, like Julian, like all of the other Solar members who give month to month. That's why we take to the airwaves a couple of times a year to ask you to support this vital resource in your life. I'm so pleased that Dave Ashton is now producing more news, and he's up in the Denver area, and he's doing a fabulous job. Stacy Johnson, you just heard from her putting together the headlines. Steve Miller was in the headline segment as well. Stacy and Dave are both examples of people who are getting a journalism school education from KGNU with hands-on learning. And that is possible thanks to your support. Give us a call, 303-449-4885. We have one more segment that we need to get to, but please give us a call. Go online, kgnu.org. And we're going to hear from H2O Radio with Jamie Sudler, who you may recognize from the morning headlines on Mondays and Wednesdays, and Franny Halperin.
Last summer's monsoons awakened prehistoric creatures. That story and more on H2O Radio's weekly news report. I'm Jamie Sudler.
I'm Franny Halperin, and it's This Week in Water.
There have been renewed calls to ban ocean drilling since the recent oil spill off the Southern California coast, but even if one were imposed, more disasters are likely as infrastructure continues to age.
The spill came from a 13-inch crack in a nearly 20-mile pipeline connected to an offshore platform. Dead birds and fish washed up on beaches and impacted sensitive ecological preserves like the Talbert Marsh in Huntington Beach.
The Coast Guard said that the fractured pipeline spilled around 125,000 gallons of oil into the ocean and could have been damaged months earlier by a ship's anchor.
The platform is one of 23 in federal waters, which are over 3 miles off the coast. Four more platforms are in waters regulated by the state. Each can have multiple wells connected to them, and the Associated Press reports 1,200 are active.
No new federal oil leases have been permitted since 1984. California's congressional members have introduced legislation that would ban new oil and gas drilling permanently in federal waters off Washington, Oregon, and California.
However, such a ban would not affect older leases. Oil infrastructure is aging, and The Guardian reports that as there's a shift away from fossil fuels, companies might not invest in maintenance, making it likely there will be more spills.
A new study has found that exposure to deadly heat in cities has tripled since the 1980s, mostly because of climate change and the dense concentrations of pavement, buildings, and other surfaces in urban areas.
Trees, green roofs, and vegetation can help reduce temperatures, but recently the city of Phoenix started testing another solution. They're painting their streets gray.
Road temperatures in the desert city can be as much as 180 degrees on a hot day, and that heat energy stays in the pavement for hours, causing overnight temperatures to remain high.
Working with researchers from Arizona State University, the city applied Cool Seal, a water-based asphalt product, to 36 miles of neighborhood roads and to a parking lot.
The team found that sometimes on days as hot as 116 degrees Fahrenheit, noontime temperatures on the coated roads were 10 to 12 degrees cooler than non-treated streets.
While good results, the researchers warn that painting streets is not a cure-all. If you stand on one of the coated surfaces on a hot day, you're still going to be hot. They say the treatment needs to be paired with measures that increase shade.
About 3 weeks after it erupted, lava continues to flow from the volcano on La Palma, one of the Canary Islands, destroying hundreds of farms and structures.
A recent study has shown that while lava devastates the land, it has a much different effect on the ocean, where marine life that's not instantly killed returns quickly and in better shape.
Researchers studied an underwater volcano near the Canary Islands that erupted in 2012 and found that within 3 years, the area was covered with life, including phytoplankton, mature fish, squid, and octopus.
One of the researchers told The Guardian that lava is rich in iron, magnesium, and silicates that fertilize the water. She said it's like a forest fire that destroys everything but provides nutrients for new growth. The difference is that marine life recovers much faster. And finally, Wupatki National Monument in northern Arizona was once one of the largest ancient pueblos in the Four Corners area of the Southwest. The arid region gets only about 8 inches of rain per year, most of which falls during summer monsoons.
Last year was one of the driest monsoons on record, but at the end of July, the region got nearly 5 inches of rain in a downpour that awakened prehistoric life.
Water collected in the monument's ceremonial ball court, a circular walled structure about 100 feet across, and soon after, hundreds of bizarre, shrimp-like critters emerged from tiny eggs and began to swim around.
Lauren Carter, a ranger at the monument, told Live Science that the creatures called triops look like little mini horseshoe crabs with three eyes.
Triops, also known as dinosaur shrimp, are ancestors of crustaceans that lived over 400 million years ago, and their appearance hasn't changed much.
The 1.5-inch-long critters can live up to 90 days, but the Wupatki ones only lasted about 4 weeks, according to Carter. Almost immediately, ravens and common nighthawks noticed the newcomers and swooped down in the water to gobble them up.
It's unknown how many triops managed to lay eggs before they were eaten or the pond dried up, so we'll have to wait till the next monsoon season to find out.
But you won't have to wait for rain to hear us again. We'll see you next week.
And that's all the time we have for the Morning Magazine. We want to make one last push, one last nudge to give us a call at 303-449-4885. Support the reporting that you heard today on the Morning Magazine by Dave Ashton, by Franny Halperin, by Jamie Sudler, by Stacey Johnson, by Steve Miller, everybody who contributes their time and energy and effort and ganas to the Morning Magazine. I thank them all, and I thank you, the listeners, and everybody who has called in. Verity, do you have anything left to say before we wrap things up, hand it over to the How on Earth crew, who is already in the studio standing by?
I just want to thank you so much for allowing me to join you this morning, Shannon. thanks to everybody out there that made their contribution to have their dollars doubled. This match will continue through How on Earth until the morning sound alternative. So please, if you have not already, call 303-449-4885 or go online to kgnu.org to make your contribution to support the programming, news programming here on KGNU, and have your dollars doubled. Thank you, Alan Carpenter, for putting up those matching funds.
Absolutely.
Thanks, listeners, and have a wonderful day.